Every time we come to the States and we do something that you ain't heard before and you can't identify with it, everybody sort of sits there going, so this is one of those. This is off the new album, and all being well, we should have it out before the nights start drawing in, because it's like a summery album, really. And this is one of the songs from it. It's called Dancing Days.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, this is episode 21 of ZepFan, the Led Zeppelin podcast, where you guessed it, we are a podcast dedicated to Led Zeppelin. Our guest today has seen Led Zeppelin in concert more than a few times. He attended several of the iconic LA Forum shows. He was at the famous Bonzo's birthday party in 1973. He witnessed all the LA Forum shows in 1975. And in 1977, he saw the incredible Listen to This, Eddie, and the infamous For Badge Holders Only shows. In total, he has seen Led Zeppelin in concert 14 times. His username on LedZeppelin.com is Strider. Please welcome to the ZepFan podcast, Sean Hathwell. So, Sean, let's dive into your shows. From my understanding, it sounds like you were 10 when you saw your first shows.
Well, it's 72 was it was June 25th, 72, which, you know, has been released now on the How the West Was Won, because that was the first show. I had finally, you know, browbeaten my poor parents into saying, okay, you can start going to shows. So by that point, I'd already had a few concerts under my belt. My first show was Black Sabbath and Yes at the Swing Auditorium, right, in San Bernardino, which was on St. Patrick's Day. It was a Friday, March 17th, 1972. I'd had a few shows under my belt. So, of course, one of the stipulations, my parents said, you got to wear earplugs. you got to wear earplugs.
That's smart thinking, actually, I would imagine.
Well, because that was their fear. I would blow my ears out with the loud sound, right, and that I would, and they were worried about, because some reports you hear at rock concerts, there'd be fighting or someone would get out of control or the police, blah, blah, blah. But, you know, for the most part, so like, at that time, my parents were separated. So my stepmom got me. Do you remember there's an organization called Big Brother?
Yeah, sure.
Where you have like kind of a mentor, and parents would sign you up, and you'd have a big brother if, you know, you didn't have your father around or whatever. And he would kind of like act. So my dad was kind of like, you know, he was kind of a flake in some ways. So sometimes he would show up when it was his visitation, sometimes he wouldn't. So my stepmom signed me up for the Big Brother program. And my big brother that I got was into photography and also liked rock music. So it was he was the one getting these tickets for me. I wasn't going out there at 10 years old getting these tickets. Right. No, he was the one. And then, of course, my dad, he would, whenever I would be able to get him to get a ticket and go to a show, because he took me to Emerson, Lake & Palmer, and, you know, he liked them. So it was kind of like a combination. Sometimes it would be my dad taking me to a show. Other times, most of the time, it was my big brother who was getting tickets, and I'd go to shows with him. So when I was finally allowed to go to concerts, you know, and then, of course, you know, all these were like kind of like these, you know, shows, and the Stones were amazing. This was, you know, Mick Taylor was still in the band. Black Sabbath and Yes, they were amazing. But when Led Zeppelin, when I would, you know, got the news, and he told me, you know, I got the news, hey, I got Led Zeppelin tickets, we're going to see them. Cool. Of course, you know, they were crappy seats. We were in Colonnade 29, row 19, and seats 7 and 9, I believe. We were way up in the Colonnade, which is like in the Forum. They had the floor, they had the loge, which was the first section above the floor, and then they had the Colonnade section, which was, you know, the what you would call the nosebleeds. Although it's kind of funny in retrospect, if you go to a show like Staples Center now, or which is I think called Crypto Arena, but if you go to a show like that and then you go to the Forum, you realize, oh, the Forum's not that bad after all, because Forum was actually smaller than the Staples Center and more intimate and everything. But at that early juncture, I had already come to realize that it's like, what is a concert? Okay, it's like certain bands treat concerts in different ways. Now, some bands would just go out and they just play their songs exactly the way they are on record.
Right.
You know, they just, that's it. They're not going to deviate from the pattern. Even that, with just a few concerts under my belt, I was still old enough and aware enough to appreciate that, okay, there's different ways that bands can approach concert. And so going to Led Zeppelin, all I had was their first four albums to go by. I hadn't gotten into a Led Zeppelin bootleg. I hadn't been able to find or even get into the world of bootleg albums yet. So I had no idea what they sounded like in concert. I was going in kind of green. So I don't know, oh, are they going to sound like the record? Are they going to, you know, I mean, you would hear things in certain articles, but again, there wasn't enough an archival base, so to speak, where I had enough concert reviews to go by either in the local LA Times or in the magazines, because most of the articles that I had read up to that point just focused on the reviews of their albums, not so much their concerts. So I didn't really have much in the way to go by of what a Led Zeppelin concert was going to entail. So I just remember, you know, thinking, okay, I hope I hear this song. You know, like you go to a concert, you want to hear this song. Like I knew I wanted to hear most of Led Zeppelin 4. I wanted to hear Days Confused. I wanted to hear How Many More Times. I wanted to hear all of Side 2 of Led Zeppelin 3 or whatever, you know, like, you know. So I had certain songs in my mind that I hope they play this song. But I kind of figured, yeah, they're going to be loud, because that was usually the first adjective whenever you talk to someone about Led Zeppelin in concert. It was like, oh, they're loud, you know. And even the critics, oh, they would complain about, oh, they're loud, which I just remember being that just kind of like, oh, I'm finally getting to see them. Because, again, given the period of the time, you just never knew when you were going to wake up and some rock star was going to be dead of an overdose or an accident or something like that. So the fact that school was out, it's summer, and, I'm going to see Led Zeppelin. And it was just like, oh, okay. You know, and there's no opening band. This is, I think, probably the first concert that I was going to where there was no opening act, which was, no opening band. You know, that's how we're, you know, that was kind of, okay, cool. No opening act. And it was also because all the previous shows I had seen up to that point, Black Sabbath was at Swing Auditorium. King Crimson was at Santa Monica Civic. The Stones was at the Palladium in Long Beach Arena. I might have seen one of those, but every show I had seen up to this point had taken place elsewhere. So not only was this my first Led Zeppelin concert, it would be my first time going to see a concert at the Forum.
Oh, very cool.
The Inglewood Forum. There was a buzz about that building, even apart from rock concerts. It was where you heard the Lakers play. It was where sporting events happened. So, and when you would drive up, I was living in Costa Mesa at the time. And so you drive up the 405, 405 freeway up from Orange County into Inglewood, off the, just off the LAX airport there. You get off there, there's Randy's Donuts on Manchester Boulevard near the airport with the big giant donut sign rising above the freeway. And you take Manchester all the way down to Prairie, and that's where the Forum is, right on the corner there of Prairie and Manchester. And you kind of see that iconic circular building with the white pillars.
Oh, yeah.
And the planes flying overhead every 30 seconds. It seems like there'd be a plane flying, descending into LAX so close that you could touch the planes. We got there, you know, obviously we got there plenty of time. You know, we probably got there, you know, because there was no opening act, but we figured, you know, 7:30, we probably got there maybe a half hour, probably. It was, you know, definitely still light, but you could see that, you know, the parking lot full up. And that was the other thing is, like, at that time, you know, the whole tailgate scene.
Oh, yeah.
In the 70s, the parking, you know, people getting, you know, drinking.
Back when they let you do
that. At that time, people kind of like left you alone. Now it seems like, you know, the cops and people, they don't want you to, you know, party out in the parking lot. But back then it was just like, kind of like, wow, look at all these people. Like, you know, it was like, and there was a few kids, but it seemed mostly like high school age, people older than me, definitely.
Right.
And then the college kids that we're into.
Your first concert was June 25th, 72 at the Forum. And then you went 2 days later to the Long Beach Arena, June 27th. Now, what prompted you to go? Did you see the band and like, oh, we need to go see him again? Or was that already on the schedule?
Here's the thing. You know what happens when reality exceeds the dream? That's what the June 25th, 1972 concert was like.
Okay.
Anything I could have wanted, or I mean, okay, yeah, they didn't play When the Levee Breaks. Okay, that was, you know, I was kind of bummed. Yeah. I was kind of bummed about that, you know. And then you would hear people yelling, "How do you know When the Levee Breaks?" You know, people shouting out stuff, people shouting out songs. What always cracked me up about concerts is, you know, people that shout out stuff after the first or second song, you know, it's like people, "Hold on, love." It's like, dude, it's like the second song. I'm sure they're going to get around the whole lot of love eventually. You know, it's like, you know, I can understand if you're yelling out, you know, something obscure or deep cut, but yelling out Rock and Roll or Whole Lot of Love after the first or second song, it's kind of like, think they're going to play that, dude. I think they'll get to it. It's like Robert Plant, you say, we got a long time, you know. And that was the thing. That concert was it was just indescribably good. Now, I realize there are people.
You're talking about the first one, the Forum show, or the
Long Beach
show?
I'm talking about the first one. First one.
Got it.
And that's what it was. The first one was so amazing and just so spine tingling, where the hair is on the back of your neck and your arms, and you're just like, can't believe what you're seeing. You're almost like having an out of body experience.
Right.
And you're just like, how can a band be so good? How can they play for so long? How can they keep coming? You know, Stones didn't do an encore when I saw them. They left the stage, they did not come back. And the crowd said, oh, okay, they stopped, and then they kind of, when the lights went up, the crowd booed, and they were, you know, and even Black Sabbath, you know, they did one, maybe two songs for an encore. Zeppelin came back like 4 or 5 times. The crowd was almost felt bad for the band, because it's like, Jesus, you know, let them leave this, you know, let them go home. They got another show to, you know, it's like, it's unbelievable. It was like, they just kept coming back, and each encore just kept amping the crowd up more and more. So it was like, as soon as that concert was over, we didn't even leave our, I couldn't leave. It took me a while to just like, couldn't process what I just seen, because it had just moved me so much, and it surpassed whatever expectations I had going to the show. It was beyond what I was expecting. That it took me a while to just sit there and process. And then, and plus there were so many people, you know, you're like, oh, you're just going to be stuck in a line of people trying to get out anyways. Might as well just stay there and wait for the crowd to thin out. And it was, you know, when we were in the car that I said, oh, I got to see that again. Let's go to Long Beach.
Yeah.
They're playing it. I got to witness that again. I can't not see that. I have to see that again. And there were certain things why. Let's start with just the music itself. Okay, so as I've said, the previous concerts I've been to, there was basically the bands that played the songs as they were, and then a band like Grateful Dead that kind of freeformed. Led Zeppelin was like a combination of everything. There were some songs that they played just like the record, like Dancing Days, although, you know, I had no idea what the hell that song was because, you know, we hadn't heard, you know, we were still a year away from,
right,
you know, the new album. So the fact that the band was playing all these new songs was, you know, Over the Hills and Far Away. Again, what song is this? I don't, you know. So there was like the songs that they played kind of like stayed to the script. And then there were, you know, again, then they also did the freeform stuff like Days Confused. But the difference was bands like Grateful Dead and later bands that I would see, like the jam bands like Fish and so forth, and even bands like the Allman Brothers or Pink Floyd, they would go into certain sonic textures and stuff like that, but you never really could say that they would go into a punishing pace. Their music pretty much stayed in kind of a loping kind of pace. You know, Grateful Dead had true drummers, but they never really were like, you know, playing fast for the most part. Most of their songs stuck to a very light cadence. And even Pink Floyd, especially in the early days, there are certain tunes, certain periods where, like in Echoes or something like that, where Nick Mason might get up, get a head of steam going on his drums. But especially by the time of Dark Side of the Moon, and definitely by the time of Wish You Were Here, their songs have a pretty kind of set, you know, they don't really get into a very punkish vibe very much. Whereas Zeppelin, when they did Days of Confused, I couldn't believe it. Because I literally got lost in that song. You know, because they start, oh, it's Days of Confused, and it's heavy, and it's just doom-laden, and then the riff comes in, okay. But by the time of the violin bow thing and just all that freeform, and then they're going into the second, you know, the fast part of the solo, and then they're going into the funky, you know, it's just going on and on. And you think, and you lose track of time. You think, right. Oh, are they still in digs? You know, and then they come back in after 20 minutes or so. They come back into the verse. And you're like, oh, this is still Days Confused.
Right,
you're
right,
like
right.
Thinking, oh, it's have they got into something entirely different? It's like they've taken you on this weird journey into outer space, and then they've circled back again into orbit, and then they finish off with another crazy, you know, solo with the wild. You know, it was just like 30 minutes where you just like, I was, and then just the pace, because while Jimmy's soloing, Bonham and Jones are feverishly, you know, playing a dinner, 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 dinner. And that's the other thing is that the sound of Led Zeppelin in concert was a physical entity of itself because, yes, it was loud. But one of the unique aspects of seeing Led Zeppelin in concert was that Bonham's drums came through better than just about any other band I ever saw in concert.
Cool.
And you literally felt it in your gut, you know. And, you know, sometimes later, you know, in 72, of course, they had the drone. They had that opening weird drone before the band kicked into Immigrant Song.
Mm-hmm.
But other times they would come up and, you know, there was no opening tape. It was just the band would come on and they would kind of tune it up. And so you know, Bonham would like hit that kick drum. And it's like, as soon as he did, you'd hear that wave, that sonic wave would just punch you in the chest.
Right,
you go,
right.
Oh, yeah, here we go. It's a good thing I brought my earplugs. And the characteristic of the way the band would sound in the arena was also unique in that a lot of times I felt like you had just this solid bottom, depending on where you were sitting. You had, you know, Jones and Bonham, you know, laying down the bass and drums, and Plant would come over the PA, and depending on how close you were to the stage or whatever, depending on how close you were to the stage, me, I never really got tickets that, you know, was very few and far between that I was able to get, like, tickets really close to the stage. Most of the time I was up in the loge or the colonnade or further back in the floor. So you basically got, you know, Plant's voice coming from the PA, and you got most of the sound coming there. You get some stage, but everything seemed to be like coming at you. And then it was like Jimmy's guitar would just kind of like ride over thing, ride over every other sound. And sometimes he would, you know, have the sound guy, he would like kind of crossfade it where like he would shift it to the left or right if he was doing his, you know, echo thing during Days Confused or whatever. But it was just so, it was a very, it was almost like you would hear the band coming straight at you, but also kind of like swirling around you. Jimmy's guitar would like sometimes feel like it was strafing your head, like, you know, machine gun bullets, you know, coming from an airplane. It just had that kind of, that's how I felt, like, at least back then. I felt like, you know, oh my God, Jimmy's like, you know, like he's shooting a machine gun. He's just strafing the crowd with bullets of, you know, fusillade of notes, you know, rapid, you know, just, it was kind of just the impression I got at a young age.
Yeah.
So the physicalness of the sound, but the other thing that was physical about the band was watching them play, watching Jimmy cavorting around the stage and the way he attacked his guitar. I mean, I think only Pete Townsend really attacked his guitar with as much force as Jimmy. And watching Bonham just
take no prisoners.
Know, it's just the way he hit and how hard. And then you're thinking 2 hours into the show, and then he's got to do a half hour drum solo. And then they're doing a half hour of Whole Lotta Love, and they're careening from song to song, and they're, you know, Jimmy's leading, you know, and it's almost like a whiplash pace. And it's just the physical, how are his fingers not falling off? How is Bonham not just falling over dead? Watching them exert this physical effort just to play these notes and everything. And then that was just the overall physicalness of Led Zeppelin. Not just the force of the sound coming out of the speakers and the PA and the sound that was hitting you in the gut and scraping your head, but just the effort,
the sweat, the toil they
put into playing those notes, how hard they had to work. You know, I get so mad. Well, I mean, it's, you know, I'm an adult now. It seems so silly to say I get so mad. But especially back then, you would read, you know, reports in Rolling Stone, or you'd see reviews, or you'd see people, and they would call Led Zeppelin a lazy band. It's like, are you nuts? I mean, no. There's many things you could call Led Zeppelin. Lazy was not one of them. Yeah. I mean, it took an amount of stamina, and considering that they weren't exactly, other than Bonham, they're pretty frail looking guys. I mean, Jimmy Page, you look at Jimmy, it's like, how is he holding? He's not playing like light strats.
Right.
He's playing like Les Paul, solid body guitars, and the double neck guitar. I mean, it's like, and especially, you know, I'm 10 years old. I'm like, I'm just sitting there watching that whole show with my jaw on the floor. I'm thinking, oh God. I mean, it's like, and every song was just like, there were songs that and it's like, yes, there are songs that you want to sound like the record. And for like Heartbreaker sounded pretty much like the record to me. Immigrant Song sounded amazing. Unfortunately, I got to see, you know, my first show, I got to see him just before Plant ruined his voice. Right. I got to see him just when he still had enough left that he had some range. And it's funny, like, you could probably go and do a nitpick thing and go over the 1972 show and say, oh yeah, they flubbed this note here. Right. I did, you know, and I did notice that they, I believe they did flub like I think it was That's the Way. I think they might have like Plant missed a verse or something. They kind of they flubbed some segue, and because you know I you know was enough of a fan, where I had you know memorized you know a lot of the lyrics of the songs up to that point, so I kind of knew oh that lyric you know it's different or he changed like Black Dog. He totally screwed up Black Dog.
Yeah. Well, he's always, yeah, in 72 and 71, he did a little bit different lyrics as well.
Yeah, the whole Jelly Roll bit, you know, yeah, so Jelly right. Roll. You know? Right. And of course, Stays Confused, he was like kind of like long, you know, he just didn't really, but, you know, didn't care about the lyric, you know. But that, yeah. you know, this, again, that's hindsight. But, yeah, so for the most part, it was just like one of just like, oh, my God, I expected this. And I got it, but I got so much. I mean, I hadn't seen, you know, they played nearly 4 hours.
Right.
No break, no intermission, sweat flying in everywhere, the crowd going ape shit, you know. They're, you know, and then that was the other thing, you know, the Zeppelin crowd was, you could say there were some unruly types. Where I was sitting, I was kind of far away from, you know, whatever fights were going on, you know, because, you know, you got some people's got their, you know, wrong ticket. They're sitting in someone's seat, and there's someone throwing cherry bombs, and there's firecrackers going off everywhere, and, you know, there's a mushroom cloud of, you know, marijuana smoke, and frisbees are flying around, and, you know, people are bringing instruments, they're bringing kazoos to play along with the band or tambourines. It was, you know, because we're still in the period of like, there's still kind of the sway of the hippies
right.
in 72. The hippies hadn't quite disappeared yet. So there's still this notion of like, hey, let's go to a show and let's bring instruments and let's, you know, let's, you know, we're going to be one with the band and, you know, let's, you know, just kind of like, okay, we're still kind of at the tail end of that.
All right.
The glam period hadn't quite kind of taken over yet to the extent it would in like 1973.
All right. Well, that's a good segue. So those are your two shows in 72. So we have LA Forum, June 25th, June 27th.
That's 27th was Long Beach Arena, which is a little smaller place. It's a smaller venue, a little echoey, maybe slightly better sound for the most part than the Forum as far as acoustically, depending on where you're sitting. It's about 14,000 at the Long Beach Arena, whereas the Forum is like around 18,000. So, but again, it was just one of those things where, yeah, I said, I want to see Zeppelin again. Let's go. Can we go to Long Beach? Yeah. And so my big brother, he got tickets, which, you know, $5-6 a pop, which in today's inflation would be around $46 or so.
Hmm.
So it's like, imagine seeing a band that you like for $46-50 today. That's
can't go
about
wrong with that.
What it was. Yeah. I mean, you're not going to see, I don't think you can see a band less than $100 these days.
No.
But so that's how that happened. He was willing to fork over for the money for the Long Beach show. And again, it was more of the same, different and shorter, obviously not as much, many encores, but again, it was just the thrill, the thrill of them playing that set list, hearing Stairway Live and hearing the solo done differently, the thrill of them doing an acoustic song, and the whole set, the acoustic set, they stylistically covered so much ground, and it was just a four piece on top of that, that the range of music that you would hear during their concerts. So that was the other thing that impressed me about Led Zeppelin, was just the sheer diversity of music, but it was all filtered through that Led Zeppelin prism, so that no matter what the roots were, no matter what diversity you were hearing, it all came through as Led Zeppelin.
Right. And I think 1972 was interesting because they did the acoustic and it was the last of the medleys too. 73, they
it was the last of the medleys.
Everything.
Although 73, they still kind of did a few medleys in 73.
But
yeah, 72
like the 72.
Was,
you know,
but no, nothing like the 72 where you're hearing, you know, Elvis Presley and the old blues stuff. And, you know, which again irks me to death when Jimmy Page cuts all that stuff out when he puts out the official release.
Right.
All that encore stuff, the, you know, doing Louie Louie and, you know, with the organ, John Paul Jones starting off with Louie Louie and they go into the song and then they careen into Sly Stone's Everyday People and then they go into Thank You. I was like, you know,
I'm
why did you not
copyright,
put that
though,
on the
they
album?
Have to pay for that.
Well, so what? Pay the pop. You would sell so many more copies if you just put the whole full show out.
Right.
You get so much more of the buzz of the show when you do that.
The
when you don't
effect,
cut out not just the encores that he cuts out. Think about how many of the plantations, how many of Robert Plant's jokes and asides that he cuts out.
Right.
And part of the problem with that for me is that it feeds into one of the threads of criticism that Rolling Stone and other people like to throw at Led Zeppelin in the 70s was that Led Zeppelin was just this inhuman behemoth of a band. They were just like too big and too impersonal. Their shows were like Nazi rallies and blah, blah, blah. And when you listen to their, you know, when you go to the shows, when you went and you saw how Robert Plant, he didn't really have like that kind of pat stage patter that a lot of bands would have. Hey, hello, Cleveland. Are you ready to rock? Rah, rah, rah. You're the greatest guy. He would kind of like every show had like a different kind of vibe depending on Robert Plant's mood.
Totally.
And he would react to things in the crowd. He would notice something happening in the crowd. Hey, what's going on over there? Oh, there's a guy selling bootleg shirts. Oh, there's a guy in the fire. Hey, stop that. You know, hey, stop throwing firecrackers or so. But he would like talk to the crowd, not scream at the crowd. He would talk to you like you were all sitting in a room and he was playing for you. And especially during the acoustic sets, it would just be like you were just sitting around a campfire and they were just, hey, the band's got acoustic guitars. We're just going to sit around a campfire and sing. And so when Jimmy Page cuts that part out, that's kind of like the part that humanized the band to people. It made them relatable and it gave the show such a warm vibe. That when Jimmy edits those things out on these official releases, it just plays into the whole aspect of, oh yeah, Led Zeppelin was just impersonal. They didn't care about the audience. They just came out. And I just feel it just really would help the reputation of the non-fans of the band, people that aren't fans or that are just kind of casual fans. And they get their information about Led Zeppelin from Rolling Stone or these YouTube comments that people say, oh, the band, you know, it would just help, I think, improve the band status as a concert act. If people could see what they were like, warts and all. Okay, so they flub a note here and there. Or if Plant makes an off-color joke, big deal. I mean, and that's part and parcel, I think, why the band, Peter, Grant, Jimmy, maybe weren't as diligent as other bands in recording their concerts, is that they felt we're going in. So like we were talking earlier about the two sides of the band, there's the studio Led Zeppelin and then there's the concert Led Zeppelin. To me, the concert with Led Zeppelin is like, okay, we're going on stage and we're going to go on and we're going to play and we don't know where, you know, we're going to go, but we have a rough idea. And we might be, you know, messed up. We might be a little drunk. We might have a few drugs in us. Some of us might be sick or under the weather or going through this. But it's like they seem to be a band that no matter what turmoil was going on, health-wise, sobriety, whatever, one was they're not going to cancel a show. They're going to do their best to, you know, go on with the show and do their best to perform. And they're not going to curtail anything. They'll play as long as they can until they drop dead. And some of it might be great. And depending on their, attitude or whatever, or what the status of their health or whatever, it might not quite be up to their, previous heights, but they were going to give it their best shot. And it was going to be just the four of them. They weren't going to rely on backing tapes. They weren't going to rely on additional musicians to help fill out the sound. It was just them four on the stage, and they were just going to do whatever they could, do to the best of their ability at that point in time. And so each concert was like for those people in the room only. They were playing to that moment. And they weren't playing to like, oh, this is going to be listened to by people with internet access 30, 40, 50 years down the road. And they're able to nitpick every note and say, well, this, there's a flub here. No, they were playing those concerts strictly for the people that bought the tickets to that concert hall on that particular night. They didn't care how it would look 30, 40, 50 years down the road, and posterity is like looking back, okay, he said this. And so I think that's another reason why we don't have as much archival footage and tapes. Is just they just felt, hey, the concerts are here today, gone tomorrow. The people that were there can enjoy them, but it's not to be relived. Because tomorrow is another concert, and it's going to be a different show, a different vibe, and it's just so on and so forth.
Well, there you go. Thank you so much, Sean, for sharing your insight and sharing your experience of the LA Forum and the Long Beach 1972 shows you attended. Amazing stuff. Always great to hear from someone that was in the building, that witnessed these shows, for people like myself who didn't have a chance to see Led Zeppelin. And as you guessed it, Sean attended so many shows, we weren't able to cover them all on this one podcast, but hopefully he'll be back for more episodes and dive deeper in these incredible West Coast shows he did see. But for now, let's wrap it up. Thank you for listening to episode 21. I am Mark McFall. Have a good night. Cheers.